This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Thanks for joining us again on another episode of PT Talker. I'm Jeff Worrell, and I'm excited to be bringing to you another expert in the world of physical therapy. This week, I've got an author with me, Tim Richardson, physical therapist. You're also the owner of Medical Arts Rehab in Florida, and you are working on a book. Tim, welcome to our show today.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be here.
It is great to have you here. Let's first start out with your credentials, your practice in Florida. Palmetto, is that where you said you're from originally?
Correct. Okay. Palmetto in Manatee County.
In Manatee County. Some of our listeners down there may know exactly where that is. I'm assuming the sun is shining brightly today.
Oh, it's beautiful, Jeff.
As always.
70 degrees.
As always. All right. So your clinic has actually been in existence for 27 years, but I think you told me that you've just retained sole ownership by buying out your partner in 2006. So you're a sole owner of your own physical therapy practice.
That's correct.
Well, tell me a little bit about, how that all came about before we get into your book. And I do want to mention the title of your book is Bulletproof Physical Therapy Decisions. So I'm assuming that some of the things you've learned about owning your own practice, being involved in the management of a physical therapy practice, has led you into writing this book?
That's exactly correct, Jeff. And that's actually a good segue to describe the inspiration for Bulletproof Physical Therapy Decisions was the motivation of owning the practice and being the sole owner. We were actually sitting around the attorney's desk or table, conference room, talking with the former owners, my partners, one of whom is still with the practice, and he made a comment that he said, "Gee, Tim, we really don't have a Medicare compliance program." And maybe Jeff, it just hit me at that moment, but I said, "Wow, I really need to get on this because I'm the one on the hook." And so, trying to learn about Medicare compliance from the current leaders nationally in physical therapy Medicare compliance, I realized that their recommendations and their tools were almost exclusively based around what are called process measures in physical therapy. These are things like the 8-minute rule, the KX modifiers, and the arbitrary PT caps, a concept called skilled physical therapy, one-on-one procedure codes, things like this.
It's all the rules and regs that therapists find themselves having to meet every time they deal with a Medicare patient?
Correct.
Okay.
And the rules and regs are extremely important. I highly recommend the folks that are out there right now doing this work. They do good work. But the frustration I found when, after learning all of this stuff, I realized that none of this stuff, none of these process measures in physical therapy actually improve patient care or contribute to outcomes.
Wow.
And that may sound obvious. It may sound like we all know this, that these do not contribute to patient care, but there are recommendations within the Medicare Benefit Policy Manual that physical therapists adopt outcome measures. And this can improve your Medicare compliance programs. Right now, about 48% of physical therapists in the United States use some form of outcome measure, and that's not the term outcome measure is not well defined.
Mm-hmm.
You can use patient self-report outcome measures, which are usually questionnaires. Some examples of these are the optimal form by the APTA. Other measures that you may recognize are the lower extremity functional scale, the Oswestry scale, and the neck disability index, and there's many more, and I talk about over 20 of them in the book.
So you're kind of saying that the premise of your book is that there's this 8-minute rule, for example, which dictates how long the physical therapist actually has to be and I don't know the exact words, but in attendance with the patient in order to bill for that CPT code.
Correct, one-on-one.
And which has nothing to do with how long the treatment might actually take or how a patient gets better in 8 minutes versus 6 minutes. Is that a premise?
That's exactly correct.
Okay.
The eight-minute rule does nothing to either lower costs, which is the intent of process measures, is to lower costs, but I would argue that in general these things increase paperwork burden,
mm-hmm. yeah.
increase compliance burden, decrease the amount of time the therapist is able to spend with the patient, and may, although we don't have any evidence to show this, may decrease outcomes.
Okay, and is somewhat arbitrary.
Okay,
so then to contrast to that, your book focuses specifically on what?
We do talk about the process measures, but we try to drive a hard distinction between here are process measures and here are outcome measures in physical therapy. And the outcome measures, including evidence-based, treatment-based classification rules that have been, or at least have the promise to decrease costs and improve outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Classification is a topic that's been now in medicine for perhaps the last 20 to 30 years in disease states like pneumonia, acute chest pain, lower extremity thrombosis, and things like mm-hmm. this. That has conclusively been shown to lower costs and improve patient outcomes. That's the promise these rules, these classification rules have in physical therapy.
Okay.
And again, we stepped off of what I was mentioning, process measures, a moment ago, but outcome measures in general, classification rules in particular, these are patient-based tools that are available to physical therapists that directly contribute to their care, improve their outcomes, and have been shown to lower costs.
Okay, so process-based tools, that's the right term?
Actually, the process measures are the kind of the dotting the I's and crossing the T's. These are the things like the 8-minute rule.
Oh, okay. Those are the process, yeah.
That we should pay attention to, because if we don't, you
get
fines and penalties
yeah.
and go to jail and whatnot.
Okay.
But they do not, process measures do not contribute to patient care.
Or to the outcomes.
Or to the outcomes.
Okay. So could you give us an example now? It's a fairly complicated concept, it seems, and I've got mm-hmm. several questions, but can you give me an example of something in your book that might help you deal better with outcomes? And I don't know if I'm asking the question correctly.
Yes. I mentioned the standardized outcome measures,
mm-hmm.
and these are all peer-reviewed things that I or any physical therapist can go to the evidence, can go to the literature and retrieve this. I put them all in the book.
Okay. Again,
I'm trying to get everything in one place. And I actually started this as a training program for my own staff. At one time I had 7 physical therapists working for me.
Hmm.
And so getting everybody on the same page was a bit of a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started gathering this material and writing it all down. In addition to the self-report questionnaires, we have therapist-administered performance tests. These are things like your timed up-and-go test, gait velocity, mm-hmm. four-square stepping test, Berg score, Tinetti score, stuff like that.
Okay, yeah.
These things are all predictive in nature. In other words, you can predict things like falls risk. You can predict things like, mainly falls risk.
Yeah.
Let me continue real quick. The other outcome measure are called impairment level tests and measures. These are things like your straight leg raise, neck rotation, hip rotation. Jeff, when I graduated in 1992, these were the only tools available to physical therapists.
Mm-hmm.
There were very few self-report outcome measures available in 1992. Now physical therapy has an abundance of these tools, and yet less than half of physical therapists use them.
Why do you think that is?
There's a number of reasons cited in the literature, the most common being that it takes too much time to fill out the questionnaire,
okay.
or that the questionnaire is confusing to the patient, or that the results are not relevant to the therapist. I think my own observation is that We are unfamiliar with the tool. They are not commonly taught in the majority of the
programs, yeah.
Basic level education, mm-hmm. the entry level. I have not seen any continuing education devoted to the use of these outcome measures. And so I think it's a training issue, really.
Hmm.
I can tell you that my staff, in the 2.5 years that we've been doing my program, love the immediate feedback we get from our patients.
Mm-hmm.
We use almost all 20 of these outcome measures routinely. Some are specific to balance and falls. Some are specific to the leg. Some are specific to the back or the neck. And once you're trained in using them, it becomes, again, it's routine. It's just a part of your day.
Yeah.
So we make it easy on patients or on therapists. We have a document server where they can push a button and pull up their questionnaire immediately. We also have paper files where they can pull them
mm-hmm.
and give them to the patient. For therapists that are using the paperless documentation or an electronic medical records, the patient can fill out the paper copy, and the therapist can then scan and attach the file to the daily note.
Okay. So how then does this tool help the system? I understand that the therapist enjoy the feedback. The patient probably, there's maybe some benefit to them as far as going through the exercise of filling it out. How does, and I don't know if Medicare even cares, but how does the system benefit?
Actually, Medicare cares a great deal.
Okay.
One of the most pressing issues, especially this time of the year, here we are, this is October 21st, 2009. We're getting towards the end of the calendar year where a lot of your Medicare patients have used up their $1,840 annual per beneficiary cap. This is an arbitrary amount that's given to each patient or each beneficiary for physical and speech therapy. But if they've been through my clinic maybe in February for a rotator cuff rehab and spent 10 or 12 visits here, and they're coming back now in October for some work on their hip because they fell down, they're getting very close to that cap. And if I need to demonstrate progress or if I need to demonstrate medical necessity, one of the strongest tools I have are these functional outcome scores.
Hmm.
If I need to show over the course of a 4-week course of treatment that my patient has difficulty squatting, kneeling down, walking a city block, getting up out of a chair,
mm-hmm.
The lower extremity functional scale is one of the best standardized condition-specific outcome tools available in the literature for injuries affecting the leg.
So can you advocate for more money for this specific patient from Medicare?
I would use an improvement on the lower extremity functional score
mm-hmm.
to justify pending the KX modifier to the patient's claims once I feel that they're going to need services in excess of the $1,840 cap.
Okay.
Correct.
And so you said that a lot of physical therapists are not using these tools. How would they go about justifying the modifier in order to get more or to allow the patient to have more treatment?
Jeff, I think you just asked the $64,000 question.
So thus, this everybody needs to be using this.
I don't know how I did it before 3 years ago.
So are they just not successful in getting any more treatment for the patient?
I can tell you the experience of a 15-therapist, physician-owned physical therapy clinic in my town
uh-huh.
that has a policy of stopping physical therapy at the $1,840 level for their physical therapy clinics because they are not comfortable attending the KX modifier for those patients that need physical therapy and the patients that show progress with physical therapy.
Wow.
So that is a policy decision made by this practice that it's not costing the insurance company any money.
Right.
And so they're unlikely to be audited. But I would argue that this is a case where they are not doing the Medicare beneficiary any good.
No.
And they're not using these standardized public domain tools that are in our purview, that are part of our practice, mm-hmm. that they could and should be using.
So I could be going home still somewhat dysfunctional when and not knowing that there is still treatment and Medicare money available to me had I been to the correct physical therapist.
That's exactly right.
Wow. Okay. I would say that's pretty major.
Well.
Yeah, but that's
I agree.
That's major. So your book, let's turn to that real quick, is going to can be used by physical therapists who want to learn how to go about addressing this kind of a situation?
Yes.
When will your book, now your book is not out, it's very close, you're in the final chapters, I've heard you talk about it, but do you have a published date yet, or do you have any sense of when the book might be ready?
Yes, I'm hoping to have that ready by January 2010.
Okay, so just months away.
Yes.
And we're talking now in late October, so not very far away. So our listeners want to make sure to check back. And let's give a couple of your websites, too. We're almost out of time here, but go ahead and tell listeners how they might contact you directly.
Jeff, I post resources and tools for physical therapists, including templates that you can download and use in your clinic at www.bulletproofpt.com. Also, I post more daily-type cutting news type content at physicaltherapydiagnosis.com, which is a blog.
Yes, which is how PT Talker got to know you. You're also on Twitter, too.
Yes, that's correct.
And how do people find you on Twitter? Do you remember? Okay, I caught you cold on that one. I'll look it up and I will put it in my blog for those.
I misunderstood your question. The I think the Twitter address is PT Guru or something like that.
Okay, I'll find it. Yeah. I've got you. I'm following.
You're asking me how does Twitter work?
Oh no! I would never. No one knows that.
No one knows that.
That's right. Okay. Well, excellent. Tim Richardson, author of Bulletproof Physical Therapy Decisions, and also a practicing physical therapist down in Florida owning his own clinic called Medical Arts Rehabilitation. Tim, I want to thank you so much for giving us your valuable time today in between patients. I know we caught you just finishing up a patient.
Yes.
And certainly for those listeners out there that want to contact him, I'm sure he would be happy to talk to you. Also want to let our listeners know that I will bring Tim back on to PT Talker, and we'll let everybody know when that happens. When the book comes out, we will hopefully be one of the first media outlets that Tim goes to in order to promote his new book, because it sounds to me like it's going to be one of those books that becomes a very valuable and useful tool to practicing physical therapists.
Thank you very much.
All right. This is Jeff Worrell. It's time for us to go so we can all get back to taking care of those patients who are looking for physical therapy. And I want to remind all of our listeners that if you'd like to hear other episodes of PT Talker, certainly go to pttalker.com, or you can find us on iTunes. This is Jeff Worrell bringing you business news and ideas just for therapists. And I'll say so long for now.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.